If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. Well, you've sent in a lot of questions, and we sure appreciate that. Keep them coming. You can participate in the program by simply sending us an email, info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com, and please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Well, I wasn't planning on having the final Branson keynote presentation post-edited until the end of today, but I decided to grind it out and finish it up last night. And so now all 15 Branson 2015 Worldview Weekend keynote presentations are in the Situation Room at situationroom.net. All 15. I'm talking about, and then we'll go to Dr. John, Unlocking the Mysteries of Genesis. That's the one I finished up last night with Henry Morris III. He's pretty funny, actually. He actually has a good sense of humor and great content. Unlocking the Mysteries of Genesis. True faith or false hope? How to know? That was the one I finished up the night before with Mike Gendron. It's on true and false converts. True faith or false hope? How to know? Truth defined, defended, demanded. Jared Carlson. That one was the day before I finished up. I couldn't remember yesterday. Excellent presentation, by the way. Truth defined, defended, demanded. Divine Institutions by Tommy Ice. The different institutions God has ordained. My talk, Harlot Church and the Coming Religious Reich, Part 1 and Part 2 are in there. Who Lives Your Christian Life? Jesse Johnson. The New Anti-Semitism, Why the World Hates Israel, Tommy Ice. Revealing the Jihad Terrorism of Islam, that's by Usama Dakdok. The Supreme Authority for Truth, Mike Gendron. The Morass of Moralism, Justin Peters. Religion That Robs Widows. Yeah, how the widow's mite is often used out of context. No, Jesus was not approving of that system. He was condemning that system, the religion that robs widows, Jesse Johnson. The Truth About Heaven, Mike Abendroth. The Truth About Hell, Mike Abendroth. An hour of us shooting theological questions at Dr. John MacArthur. And that's your 15. And they're all in the Situation Room. I have never edited all the Branson DVDs before. In fact, I've never edited any of the Branson DVDs. I always had someone do that for us. But this year, I did all 15. And I must say it's a joy to sit and listen to these presentations again, because I generally have to listen to them 2 to 3 times in post-edit. And they're just excellent. I sit there post-editing these and think to myself, this is a good conference. If I wasn't putting on this conference, this is the kind of conference I would want to attend. Because these guys are really theologically sound. They understand the times. It's relevant. Scripture's always relevant, though, isn't it? And it's just good information. It's edifying. It's encouraging. It's equipping. It's Bible teaching. Again, I tell you, even as the guy that organizes it and puts it together, as I watch these again in post-edit, I'm thinking to myself, this is really a good conference. And the truth of the matter is, folks, I don't get to hear every presentation in Branson in its entirety because I'm so busy behind the scenes administrating and making sure, you know, the next speaker is on deck, ready to go, has his PowerPoint, has his laptop. You know, we're going to go out there and get him plugged in, so make sure it works. Where's Marty? Is Marty ready? What is he going to do? He's going to sing a number or two while we plug in the next computer system and get his PowerPoint going. What about lunch? You know, I've got to order in lunch for all the speakers and get that prearranged and have that brought in and then set up the room in the back where I feed them. Everything is on such a tight schedule when you're trying to host that many speakers. And so there's so many details. And then, of course, visiting with folks. Sometimes those conversations go over and past the break time, and so a speaker's already begun, and I'm still visiting with folks in the foyer who have waited to ask a question, and I want to visit with them. And so reality is I don't get to hear all this keynote presentations in their entirety, but I do when I post-edit. And I must say I myself have been equipped and encouraged and edified by what these men have taught, gifted men who rightfully divide the word of truth. And so if I'm encouraged by it, I hope you're also encouraged by it. And you can find them all streaming now in the Situation Room. And situationroom.net is where you can stream them, situationroom.net. And if you say, I really prefer the old-fashioned way of DVDs, well, you can order them in our bookstore. They're going off to the duplicator this week. You can order them in our bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. And then let me just simply say, if you want to join us and be there in person, we're already making plans for April 29th and 30th and May 1st. April 29th, 30th, and May 1st. So maybe put it on your calendar, ask off for time off work, and begin to think about joining us in person for an old-fashioned Bible conference. That's what it is. April 29th, 30th, and May 1st. So big project complete, and now I move on to post-editing the next Worldview Weekend hour this afternoon. And then next week, I got to lock myself away for about a week or more and hit for 10, 12 hours a day the final run-through of my book, The Coming Religious Reich, and add a paragraph here, add a paragraph there, because so much is happening so fast, I've got to be dropping it in to keep this thing relevant and updated. And then that'll be out this fall, Lord willing. So a lot of exciting projects on the table here. Well, joining us now, talking about Bible teaching, joining us now is Dr. John Whitcomb, who has taught the Word of God, taught theology for many, many years. Dr. Whitcomb is a theologian who also wrote The Genesis Flood with Henry Morris. I just talked about Henry Morris III, right? Well, Dr. Whitcomb wrote The Genesis Flood with Dr. Henry Morris's father, Henry Morris. I guess that would have been Henry Morris II. Is that right, Dr. Whitcomb? He would have been Henry Morris II?
I believe so.
Yeah, that makes sense, wouldn't it? All right. Well, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Amen.
Let's get to the first one. In Matthew 1:21, the angel tells Joseph to call his name Jesus. Yet in Matthew 1:23, it states they should call his name Emmanuel. Why are there two different names listed?
Yes, that's very interesting. Because the Bible tells us that the name of a person is a clue many times to his character, his nature, his function, his position. And when you turn back to Isaiah, listen to this amazing statement. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you, of course speaking ultimately of Mary, of the whole nation of Israel, concerning Mary, behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Well, wait a minute. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. You see, friends, these are titles that describe his function, his nature, his character. And so when Jesus was born, they didn't call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, but those were descriptions in Isaiah of what he would be. And so there's no contradiction. In Matthew chapter 1, of course, Mary and Joseph called him Jesus, but nevertheless, they certainly knew Isaiah 9:6 what Jesus would be. He would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and so forth. So I see there's no contradiction whatever. These are descriptions of his nature, his function, and I say thank you, Lord, for a person like that who is my Savior and yours.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right. Let's move right along to the next one. Here it is. Someone sent this one in and said, why are there two versions of the Lord's Prayer? Matthew 6, 9 through 13 and Luke 11, 1 through 4. So, two versions. Okay. That's the question. Go ahead, Dr. John.
Yes. Now, when you see those two versions, they're really not all that different. Matthew 6:9, we're familiar with, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And what does Luke say that so-called Lord's Prayer was? Listen carefully. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So the basic message is the same. But why are there differences? Why aren't they absolutely identical? Now listen carefully. We all know today, in a court of law, the testimony of two different witnesses that are identical will be rejected. It's a collusion. It's not a valid testimony. And so you say, what do you mean? Well, now, remember the inscription on the cross of Jesus to identify him? Matthew says this, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. But Mark says simply, the King of the Jews. And Luke says, this is the King of the Jews. And John says, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. They're all different. But what are they? They're different ways of saying the ultimate. And what, therefore, is the ultimate? We'll add them all up and you get this. This is Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Now, you see, friends, these are independent testimonies that we can see add up to the complete wording. And that is God's way of saying, that's the Holy Spirit's way of saying, these are independent, valid witnesses to what was on that cross. I say, really, that's amazing. Yes, no contradictions. You know, John said something amazing at the end of his gospel. He said, if every word Jesus uttered, everything he did was recorded, what would happen? The world couldn't hold the books that would be written. The Holy Spirit has selected, you see, certain things that Jesus said and did that each of the four gospels records that we can see the whole picture when we add it all up together. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've written your precious word, the Bible.
Absolutely. Well, that's the voice of our guest, Dr. John Whitcomb. We've now done about 100 or more programs of Ask Dr. John, and they're all archived in the Situation Room at situationroom.net. Just simply use our search engine. At the top of the page, there's a link. At the bottom of the page, there's a link. And just type in Ask Dr. John or Dr. John Whitcomb, and you'll find so many of them, close to or over 100. I got to sit down and count it all up one of these days. And when we come back, he'll answer more of your questions that you've sent in. And again, you can get in your question by simply emailing us, info@worldviewweekend.com. And Lord willing, we'll have another installment of Ask Dr. John 2 weeks from today. We're back on our Tuesday schedule. We were kind of bumped into Thursdays, and we like Tuesday, though. So Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, another installment, and you can get in your question by simply emailing us, info@worldviewweekend.com. That's all you got to do, info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, Ask Dr. John, so we quickly find them and forward them on. Sent over two of them this morning already for the next program. We'll be back with more of Ask Dr. John with Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org.
Check out the new Situation Room at situationroom.net/join. We spent months rebuilding the world's premier on-demand biblical worldview radio and television network membership page, and you're going to be amazed. Check it out right now on your computer, iPad, or smartphone, and see just how amazing the new Situation Room looks and how it's organized with a universal player, powerful search engine, and nearly $60,000 in on-demand radio and television content. You also have access to numerous ebooks, audiobooks, PowerPoint presentations, and transcriptions. If you want to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, get answers to important Bible questions, or be involved in intensive Bible study and research, then check out situationroom.net/join. You can now join for just $7.99 a month and have instant access to the radio and television programs of Brannon House, Mike Gendron, Mike Abendroth, Mike Riddle, Justin Peters, John Whitcomb, Jimmy DeYoung, Jesse Johnson, Susan Heck, Chris Pinto, John Leffler, Erwin Lutzer, Usama Dakdok, T.A. McMahon, Michael John Beasley, David Farnell, and Tommy Ice. Many of these programs are exclusive to the Situation Room and are produced and or distributed by Worldview Weekend from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. So why not go to situationroom.net/join right now and look at what is waiting for you as a member. This is broadcast quality, biblically sound, on-demand content for the entire family. Situationroom.net/join. Join now, and we'll send you 20 Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for becoming a member or for renewing your membership. That's $300 in free DVDs shipped to you free of charge when you join at situationroom.net/join.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. I hope you've got our next event on your calendar, which is our International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend, Friday night, November 6th, Saturday, November 7th, and it's all live streamed with five speakers on major issues impacting us and the church and how we should respond and look at them. Actually, exciting topics. And our purpose in doing this is to help you understand what's happening and not to have it a spirit of fear and weakness, but of sound mind. Understand that everything that's happening has largely been laid out for us in the scriptures. And Jesus said himself in Matthew 24, I'm telling you these things so you don't fear. Now, of course, Matthew 24 is about the tribulation, but we see, I think, a lot of the things that were going to unfold in the tribulation, perhaps even being set up now to actually come to pass. And that's part of our reasoning for these conferences, is to help you understand the times, defend the authority of Scripture, understand the urgency of the hour, that the Lord is on the throne, He is sovereign, and then just a study of the Bible, just to get an understanding of what's going on, to have a study of the Bible, so you can maybe answer some of the difficult questions some of your friends ask. And I think many of you are, after years of listening to this program and listening to these speakers we bring on, many of you have indeed, according to the emails I receive from you, many of you are really basically theologians in your own right. And I get emails from you guys all the time saying, you know, a few years ago I couldn't have answered any of these questions. But now after the ministry of this radio program and Dr. Whitcomb and Tommy Ice and Justin Peters and Mike Abendroth and the list goes on, I can answer so many of these questions. Well, that's exactly the goal. That's our goal here. This is a worldview class, a biblical, apologetic, theological worldview class we hold every day, and people listen all over the world and watch the TV programs, and that's really what it is. We're a seminary, if you will, for the layperson. That's all we are, is a seminary for the layperson, to equip and encourage and edify you so you then take it out and have this information for your ministry, not just to obtain information, but to take it and then go and put it into practice in your own ministry, and every one of us should have a ministry. So I hope you'll check out worldviewweekend.com/live stream about our November 6th and 7th conference. worldviewweekend.com/live stream. You agree with that, don't you, Dr. Whitcomb? Every Christian should have a ministry, right?
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a privilege. What a joy.
Absolutely. All right, here's the next one. Again, Dr. Whitcomb's website is whitcombministries.org. You'll find him on Facebook as well. whitcombministries.org. Please explain how the Sabbath was changed to the first day of the week rather than the seventh day. I do not see how Sunday can be the Sabbath and see no explanation of any change. Well, Dr. Whitcomb, we get this one quite a bit. I deal with it in great detail in the book Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology. You've answered it many times. Let's answer it again, because I do get some hostile emails every now and then, people saying, why do you go to church on the pagan day of Sunday? But we see that the Lord actually really preached the first Sunday message on resurrection morning, which was a Sunday, the first day of the week. And the disciples started going to church in acknowledgement of the resurrection. True?
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we see the Apostle Paul observing Sunday, not Saturday. Listen to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Paul says, on the first day of the week, that Sunday, we were gathered together to break bread. And so he had waited 5 days, not till Saturday, but till Sunday. And that's confirmed, of course, as we know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Listen to this statement. Now concerning the collection for the saints, on the first day of every week, that's Sunday, let each of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. Obviously, he recognizes that Sunday now is a day when God's people gather together for worship and for offerings and for other ministries that they would do together. Now, you say, now, wait a minute. What's the difference then? Is Sunday now the Sabbath? Wait a minute. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a what? Or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So, you see, friends, Sunday is not the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was a very strictly enforced day in the Old Testament law, as we know, that you weren't supposed to do certain things, you were to do other things. But you see, this Sunday in the church age doesn't have those legalistic restrictions. It's not like a Sabbath that was very carefully enforced. And so I say, when I thank you, Lord, I begin to see something. Something new has happened. Yes, the Savior of the world rose on the first day of the week, Sunday, and I want to worship him with God's people and to praise the Lord of heaven and earth for the Savior who not only died for me, but praise God on that first Sunday, rose glorified forever from the dead, that I might someday see him and be with him and be like him with a glorified body. Thank you, Lord, for what Sunday really says about Jesus.
Absolutely. All right. What would you say to encourage a young person who's interested in serious Bible study, yet feels that what is being presented in their church is inadequate? Well, that's a great question, because I think if most of us relied on what we were getting in our churches, we wouldn't be really growing in our faith, would we?
No. Right. Isn't that sad? So sad. So, you know, it's obviously a young person who knows the Lord has access to the third heaven. Fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, a redeemed man, a born-again man avails much. So a born-again person has access to the Lord, help me to understand your word. So start studying your Bible. Whatever church you're in, be assured of this, your personal daily Bible study is number one. Then what? Find a good Bible class somewhere. Maybe listen to a tape or read some books. Go to a better church than the one you're in. You know, actually, friends, the Holy Spirit leads his people. That's our joyous confidence. And sometimes there just is no church. I mean, it's not a matter of which church is better. Sometimes in the world today and in the early church, there were no special churches available conveniently for God, every one of God's servants. So what did Paul say to Timothy? He said, now Timothy, this is the last letter he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Continue in the things you've learned and been convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped to every good work. You know, friends, when you stop to think about it, Paul himself, when he was converted, didn't have a church to go to teach him. He was alone for many months, searching the scriptures, trusting the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible to illuminate him, to understand what God meant by what he said. Parallel passages, taking passages in their context. And, you know, God has promised to his people that if we open our mind and heart to what he has written in the Bible, the only book God has ever written, he will lead us step by step, yes, hopefully, to join other Christians in a local assembly where God's word is honored. But the Holy Spirit who wrote the book will answer your prayers. Yes, many of my prayers, I want you to know, the Holy Spirit intercedes for me, as he does for each believer, with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I say, Lord, I groan within me when I want to know what you meant by what you said in this precious book. Help me to understand by faithful, prayerful, consistent reading of the word of God, the Bible.
And on that note, what does that verse mean? Groanings in the spirit. What does that mean, Dr. Whitcomb?
To me, that means that many times in our prayers, we don't focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the glory of God the Father, on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he has to intercede for us, just as Jesus is doing night and day, interceding for us, too, that we might not be hindered in getting through to God from our heart of hearts. And there's, you know, we have a problem. Do you know what that is? The sin nature. And not a single one of us is devoid of a sin nature. Not even the Apostle Paul, who said, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? End of Romans 7. But then he proclaimed victory through Christ. So I just wouldn't want to know all the time how much the Holy Spirit has to endure with my kinds of thinking and praying and speaking, but I know that he intercedes for me like Jesus does before the Father, and that's my confidence and my joy.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, the next one. What is the significance of the millennium? Why is it 1,000 years? I know the Bible says so, but couldn't everything be accomplished in 300 years, 500 years, maybe 777 years? I like that. That's pretty good that they came up with that. But she goes on to say, or he, is it because mankind has never lived 1,000 years? Why is there 1,000-year millennial reign?
Yes. Well, let's listen to this statement. In Psalm 90, verse 4, here's where it starts. Psalm 90, verse 4. 1,000 years in thy sight are like what? Are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. In other words, 1,000 years is really nothing to God. This is a prayer of Moses to God. And so in the New Testament, this is reflected, of course, in the passage referred to in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to the way the Apostle Peter describes it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, friends, the first obvious point is this. God doesn't need 1,000 years to accomplish what he wants to do. He can do it instantaneously, like create the heavens and the earth. Yes. Then why do we have 1,000-year kingdom, which we call the millennium, millennium, 1,000 years? It's because God has something he's going to accomplish that, well, can I put it this way? It's shocking. It's discouraging. What is it? God is showing mankind that even with a perfect government, with perfect education, with perfect environment, there is still something in the heart of man called the sin nature. And you know, everyone who enters the millennium, we are told that very clearly, is a believer. Only believers will be entering the millennium alive. But you know what they have in them? A sin nature. So that when children are born into the perfect millennial program, they still have the capacity for rejecting, denying the glory of God.
Hold it right there, Dr. Whitcomb, and we'll have you answer the question on the other side. Finish answering it. That's the voice of John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org, and this is Ask Dr. John. We'll be right back.
This is Jesse Johnson from the program Emmanuel on Worldview Radio. Jesus said that where truth goes, freedom follows. Worldview Radio is a powerful ministry because it takes truth and disseminates it. Brandon and his staff have a strategic ministry because they're able to shine a bright light on some dark corners of evangelicalism. That light exposes error, but more than that, it also teaches people to love the truth. If you've been encouraged or strengthened in your faith by the ministry of Worldview Radio, would you partner with them financially? If so, go to worldviewweekendfoundation.com and make a tax-deductible donation. Doing that enables the ministry to expand their reach online and further bolster their radio and television efforts by adding new programs and technology. If you prefer to send a check, you can find their mailing address on the website at worldviewweekendfoundation.com.
My name is Mike Abendroth, host of No Compromise Radio Ministry, and I want you to know that I'm thrilled to be on this network and on Worldview Radio. If you have benefited from this ministry or other ministries, would you consider a deductible contribution so we can continue the free broadcast ministry and radio ministry, television ministry at worldviewweekendfoundation.com, worldviewweekendfoundation.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest. To remind you about our brand new Roku channel we launched. And if you want more details, you can find more details at wvwtv.com/Roku, wvwtv.com/Roku. And all the instructions on how to add that free channel to your Roku box. And if you don't know what Roku is, it's a little device that allows you to watch TV programs from the internet onto your TV. And they've sold over 10 million of those little boxes. And we've got over 9,000 subscribers, over 9,000, headed toward 9,200 subscribers around the world that are streaming our programming, our biblical worldview television programs and radio shows through that little box. And every week when we put up new shows, we put them on our website at wvwtv.com, and we also put them onto the Roku box that allows you to watch them free of charge as a ministry of Worldview Weekend Foundation, keeping ministry front and center. So there it is. It's just there for you to enjoy. Now, after a week or two, those programs roll into the Situation Room at situationroom.net, where you can have access to all of our programming we've ever produced going back many, many years. But we always want to make it available to anyone for at least a week or two free, so we keep ministry front and center. So one way you can stream it for the whole family is through a Roku box, and all the details are at worldviewweekend.com/Roku or wvwtv.com/Roku. It's a shorter URL, wvwtv.com/Roku. Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org joins us about every 2 weeks for what we call Ask Dr. John, and you've sent in your questions, and right before the break, he was answering that question about why is the millennium 1,000 years? Of course, millennium is 1,000, but I guess it could have been named something else and been 500 years. But Dr. Whitcomb's explaining why is 1,000 years long. You finish with the fact that those who are saved during the tribulation will go into the millennial kingdom, and they will have children, and those children will have a sin nature, and that's where we left off. Pick it up right there.
Yes. In fact, Isaiah makes this point. This is a shocker. Isaiah chapter 26. Though the wicked is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of uprightness and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. Isn't that sad? We complain about our government, rightfully so. But you see, in the millennium, the government is perfect. Satan is gone for 1,000 years. A Satan-free world with a perfect government and a perfect king, the Lord Jesus. Now, friends, during that 1,000 years, and that six times it says it's going to be 1,000 years long in Revelation. You remember chapter 20. What's going to happen? Well, the sad word is this. Jesus said, you know, we will just have to make, I apologize, that when we make decisions, we are inevitably making the wrong decisions, the wrong choices. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, he said, that leads to life, and what? Few there be that find it. So during the coming millennium, each generation of children that come into the world, the minority, really believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, accept Him as the one who died for their sins. And so by the end of the millennium, millions, yes, billions of people will, in their heart of hearts, they'll outwardly cooperate. Yes, they have to come to Jerusalem every year. That's all it's explained in Zechariah 14, etc. They'll be outward conformists, but inward deniers. And so God will deliberately release Satan. Now listen to this. And he will deceive the nations like the sand of the sea for multitude, and they will attack God's people. They will be destroyed by fire from heaven. That's the end of the kingdom. And I say, Lord, how sad. Every dispensation demonstrates that man, even under perfect conditions, does not have a heart that loves the Lord. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, who died for our sins that we might have eternal life with Him, even in an imperfect government, an imperfect world, in a satanic world. We have salvation through Christ when we put our faith in Him as the one who died for us, yes, and rose again. Thank God for His mercy.
Absolutely. And so let me ask you this, Dr. Whitcomb. When you're saying everyone will have to come to Jerusalem once a year, is that what I heard you say?
Yes, Zechariah 14 is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay, and so those who went into the went from the tribulation into the millennium, they won't have the ability to do what those who have been raptured and come back with Christ.
No, they will not have a glorified body.
So they can't.
Infinite difference.
So they can't just get to Jerusalem by boom, they're there. They're going to have to get on airplanes. So am I to believe that during the millennial kingdom, we still have airplanes, we have automobiles, maybe even television? These things are still running on the earth.
Right. It might even be something better.
Wow.
No airplane will crash.
Yeah. And maybe even still television and radio. But can you imagine what kind of television and programming would be allowed under a kingdom ruled by Christ, right? Or will the unsaved be allowed they won't be allowed to just openly be involved in flagrant sin, will they?
No, it'll be an amazingly different situation that is so hard for us to imagine today, isn't it?
Isn't it, though?
Amen. Praise God for His ability, His promise, His provision for something that will be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, to see what that's all like. Wow. Because, again, it's one thing for us with a glorified body. It's another for those who don't. How are they going to get to Jerusalem from all over the world? It's going to be a fascinating 1,000 years, won't it, folks?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's continue asking Dr. John. You've sent in your questions, and if you want to send in a question for the next program, Lord willing, a week from today, or 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks from today, send it to info@worldviewweekend.com, and put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. All right, here's the next one. I often hear people talk about sanctification as a process. Isn't it a one-time event at salvation, like justification? I really can't seem to find any verses that support it as being a process. Dr. John?
Well, let's start with Ephesians 5:18, which shows the process of sanctification. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's controlled. You see, a process. We're to do this. We're to make a choice. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And when we do this kind of thing, these songs of joy and loving relationships, that's a process through our lives. He says, do it. You have a choice. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But you see, there's another aspect. The once-for-all work of the Holy Spirit when we were converted. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So you see, that is a once-for-all event. The minute we are born again, we are baptized, identified with the body of Christ, and that doesn't have to be done every week or every month. It's once for all. So you see, the Bible does make a distinction, doesn't it, between that one event, the minute we're saved, born again, Spirit baptism, with the process, Spirit filling, refilling, enabling us to do spiritual things for the glory of God. There's a great difference between sanctification as that initial event and sanctification as a process.
Yeah, sanctification is the ongoing faithfulness and obedience, which comes through the study of God's Word, yielding our life, as you said, yielding to the will of God, yielding to the character nature of God, yielding to the Word of God, dying to self, choosing to deny flesh. I mean, all of that is the sanctification process described in many different ways, is it not?
Yes, many different ways. The Christian life, depending upon our choices that we make from day to day before Him.
Here's number 7. What portions of Scripture should be our main areas to focus on in these last days?
Oh, my. I would say, Lord, I want to study Bible prophecy. I want to know how the world's going to end. You know, Titus chapter 2, this blessed hope that we have, listen to how he states it now. This is so encouraging to me. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming, friend. He's coming perhaps today. You say, really? Well, listen to what Paul said to the Thessalonians after describing the rapture of the church. I just love this statement, don't you? How this wonderful fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians ends. Therefore, what? Comfort one another with these words. There's going to be a rapture. Perhaps today, glorification without dying. And I say, Lord, what a blessed hope that is that keeps me moving forward for you day by day in this deepening darkness. And help me, therefore, to understand the plan you have to glorify your body, your bride, your church. It was my privilege, friends, to write a book about this. It's called The Rapture and Beyond, and what the Bible says about this blessed hope that should transform our whole mentality in the deepening darkness that surrounds us everywhere, to look for that blessed hope of the soon appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Here's the next one. How should Christians respond to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on legalizing same-sex marriage?
That is so sad, so tragic. I never believed, and I'm in my 90s now, that I would live to see my beloved nation do what it's doing today. And I say, well, first of all, I had to be careful here, friends. Be careful. The Bible says no matter what kind of a government you are living under, you need to pray for those in authority, and you need to pay your taxes. Jesus said, you know, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and to God what's God's. That's Romans 13, Titus 3, 1 Peter 2. Don't totally rebel against your government. But what? Number 2, prepare for persecution. Oh, no, I don't like that word. Do you? Well, friends, let's face it. In China, where I was raised as a little child when my father was there in the military in the 1920s, Christians were, so dependent upon missionaries. But when the missionaries were all thrown out by the communists in 1950, then persecution began. Christians began to read their own Bibles, began to spread the word themselves, and I say thank you, Lord, for the 100 million Christians now in China because you sent persecution. You say, oh, Dr. Whitcomb, you're not telling us that we're going to have persecution, are you? Well, you know, here's what Jesus said about it, if you're interested in what he said. He said, if the world hates you, John 15:18, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And I say, Lord, help me to be prepared for what you have, that our churches might get down to serious business like many Christians around the world are suffering.
Hold right there, Dr. John. We'll be right back with your calls. I have a very special announcement, particularly for Situation Room members. On Friday evening, November 6th, and Saturday, November 7th, 2015, Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend TV will be hosting and live streaming the International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend right here from Memphis, Tennessee, from our television studios. All the speakers will be on the set of our TV studios to deliver their keynote presentation and to take your questions live via social media and email. Don't worry about the expense of travel, meals, lodging, or time off work or school, because this live streaming event will be available to you in your own home as a Situation Room member. We've booked an incredible lineup of speakers that are recognized internationally in their field of expertise. Speakers will include Mark Musser, author of Nazi Oaks, Dr. Rob Congdon, author of the book The European Union and the Supra Religion. We're also going to have with us Charles Koff, an MIT graduate who served as a staff meteorologist with the Department of Army in charge of atmospheric measurements, modeling, and environmental applications to support weapons testing at Aberdeen Proving Ground. He's an expert on disproving man-made global warming hype, how it's being used to push global governance. Again, don't miss out on this International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend. It's free for Situation Room members. If you're not a member, you can simply join now at situationroom.net/join. situationroom.net/join. 1-800-347-9829 is the number. 1-800-347-9829. Your questions for Dr. John. Here's your chance to ask Dr. John. If you want to email in, you can do that for the next program, info@worldviewweekend.com, and then put in the subject line, ask Dr. John. But if you want to call in, you can do that now. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Dr. John, did you have anything else you wanted to say on the last question?
Well, of course, the gay marriage decision of the Supreme Court is a reflection of what our ultimate enemies, Satan and demons. And so Paul says in Ephesians 6, you remember, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against mere human beings like Supreme Court justices and governors and rulers, but what? Against rulers and powers and world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That, of course, is Satan. So we are to take on the full armor of God to be able to resist in the evil day and to stand firm in Jesus Christ the Lord. You can see how demonic this decision of gay marriage really was. Because if everybody was involved in a gay marriage, there wouldn't be any more children. The human race would end in one generation. That is Satan's goal, to destroy mankind. And I say, Lord, help us to see what the battle lines are and what part you would have me to fit into this program, that I might be of an effective witness and testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ in this deepening darkness in which we now live.
Line one is Keith. Keith, thanks for calling in and asking Dr. John. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Dr. John. I just have a simple question. What did Jesus mean when he said, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together? Could you explain that, please? Thank you very much. Bye.
Yes, of course, that's the book of Revelation. When the Lord Jesus comes back at his second coming, there'll be a total catastrophe at Armageddon. There'll be thousands of people killed. That's in northern Israel at the second coming. And so that statement that you quoted has reference, I believe, to the aftermath, the visible effects of this judgment that will come upon the world at the second coming of Christ, not the rapture, 7 years later, the second coming of Christ at Armageddon. That would be my understanding.
Line two is Chuck, and Chuck has a question on Dr. John, Luke chapter 18. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, in chapter 18, I think Paul's unjust judge and the woman there. And then the last sentence, Jesus says, seems like it's out of a different thought pattern. He says, when the Son of Man comes again to earth, will he find faith? Now, does that mean we're going to, things are really going to be falling away? And
apostasy, big time. Dr. John?
Yes. The accurate translation of that is, will he find the faith on the earth? Now, he will find faith at the rapture because there'll be millions of Christians. But the point is, will he find any Christian who really believes the whole Bible, who really understands the whole Bible? That is the point, as I understand it. So I say, well, Lord, by your mercy, may I be one of them. You know, that's what Dwight L. Moody said. Lord, I want to be faithful to... He wasn't a great scholar, friends, but I wrote my senior thesis at Princeton University on Dwight L. Moody, the evangelist of the 19th century. And he wants us, friends, to do what? To carefully search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And then we'll be ready for whatever he has for us in his plan for the end of this age.
So Moody was a great evangelist, you're saying, but not a real great theologian?
No, but he had a heart for God, didn't he? Amen.
Do you have your doctoral thesis? Did you ever publish that, or is it not available?
No, my bachelor's thesis for graduating from Princeton received honors in the history department. That was back in 1948, and I thank God for that privilege of writing a thesis on Moody's life.
Wow. Is that in print anywhere?
No, I can. But copies are available at the Princeton University Library.
Huh, that's excellent. All right, let's go to line three. Susan, go ahead. Susan, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Question for Dr. John and you as well, Brandon. How do we as Christians reconcile our obedience to the government, but also the verse that says we ought to obey God rather than man? I'm thinking specifically of these two pastors in North Carolina who are raising the Christian flag above the United States flag, which I think is an awesome idea, but just, is that rebellion?
I don't think that's rebellion. I don't know if there's a law against that or not, but again, I don't know. I haven't even heard this story, Susan, so I don't know what these pastors are doing. I would say could be symbolism over substance. Are they really teaching the Bible verse by verse, word for word, thought for thought, in context? It's easy to be involved in little things that get attention and publicity, but are they raising the scriptures up above everything else in the teaching of their church? I'm not concerned about what flag they're flying, the American flag or the Christian flag over top of each other, which one's on top, which one's on the bottom. Again, that's all symbolism. The main thing is, are they rightfully dividing the word of truth to their congregation? But a quick answer on rebellion, we've done a lot of shows on civil disobedience. We must obey God rather than man. But it has to be a clear biblical issue. It cannot be for the sake of pure rebellion. And even when we do it, we must be prepared for the serious consequences that the civil government can bring on us. But it's got to be a clear thing for a clear reason and a clear purpose, not just simply, this goes against my political views, and therefore I'll rebel. It's got to be a God-ordained issue where we obey God rather than man. Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes, I have to agree with that. And so we have, it's a delicate decision, isn't it? Render under Caesar the things that are his, and under God the things that are his, and to see the difference in the consequences of being consistent, faithful, submissive, humble, gracious, godly, in the midst of a society that is becoming demonically, satanically evil.
Absolutely. Let's go to Kristen. Kristen has a question, Dr. John, on Romans 1:21. Go ahead, Kristen.
Hi, I thank you both that God sent us such good teachers, servants of the Lord. Amen. I'm wondering, with the way things are evolving in this world, for, you know, what's given and obeyed and all that, mostly through our government passed on by the laws, are we by chance in the judgment of God against this country And I
okay,
I
let me have him answer. I think she's asking because we teach a lot in Romans 1, if you think God is giving over America. You got 10 seconds, maybe a yes or no. Do you think God is giving over America as described in Romans 1?
I think so. I think that's obvious. In the 90 years that God has given me in this world, I have seen a gradual decline, disintegration, collapse. Nothing is evolving upward. Everything is drifting downward.
Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. Thanks so much, Dr. John. Thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, the book is now available for you to order at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. The book is subtitled Untwisting the Most Commonly Distorted Scriptures That Lead to Bad Theology and an Unbiblical Worldview. Hello, I'm Brannon House, and this 203-page book that I wrote, I pray, will be a great resource and addition to your biblical theological library. I show you how they're twisted, give you examples and documentation of how they're twisted, and then we biblically untwist them by studying the scripture in context, using scripture to interpret scripture, scripture to confirm scripture. We look at the passages before and after these verses that are twisted in order to have a correct interpretation. So we'll teach you how to be involved in good exegesis, good hermeneutics. Now this is written at a level that anyone can understand. This would be a great resource for any high school student, college student, or senior adult. This would be a great resource for your pastor. Many pastors would appreciate getting a book like this, or your Sunday school teacher, or one of your good friends. So you can order one copy, or you can order more than one copy at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, and just look for the book, Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. Thank you.